This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Once I was lost in the woods, I saw a girl in a hood. She told me I should stick to a path. Wolves will blood behind my back. They wait for the one to lose their way.
Laura Hurwitz here, and I'm with Stephanie Spaulding for another episode of Mightier Than the Sword.
Hi, everybody.
It is so wonderful to see you, Steph.
Thank you.
I know I've been kvetching today. I got up at 4 a.m. and I obsessed about making cookies.
That is a long day.
It's a long day and a weird thing to obsess about.
Yeah. Well, you are immersed in the cookie world right now. Do you dream about cookies also?
I do. Mm-hmm. I dream about cookies being in the oven too long.
They're burning.
And I actually had a whole deja vu experience because I did have that happen to me today in real life. And it was like, yeah.
Premonition.
Exactly. But I am so glad you're here, and we're going to talk about something that I was going to use to sort of chide people for not writing us. We want letters, folks, and I thought maybe I could entice people into writing by talking about some really famous letter writers who have either expanded their letter writing into novels or just written famous letters. So I know, Stephanie, you have a couple of examples.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking we should make a list. Maybe we can put this in the show notes. We could make a list of the most famous letter writers. You know, the Middle Ages, there was this famous monk and nun who wrote letters, Abelard and Heloise.
Right.
Yeah, it was like, they're kind of romantic even, I think. Like, it's kind of weirdly, yeah.
That's right. I remember that. I haven't heard those names in a while. Yeah, I love that.
Other famous letter writers?
Well, I was thinking of a kind of a modern novel called Where'd You Go, Bernadette by Maria Semple. That's one example. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't read that book, you should.
I have read it, and I read her other book, Today Will Be Different, and it's better. It's really? Even better. I love that book. I read it twice already. And the audiobook, again, I know that with my audiobooks.
Stephanie, audiobooks.
The audiobook of both of those books are read by the same person, and they're really good. She's a great reader.
Okay, cool. But yeah, that's a modern day example I was thinking of. I guess I didn't realize this, but I was sort of reading about books that are based on letters or actually made from letters. They're called epistolary.
Epistolary, yes.
Yes. So Dracula, apparently, is epistolary. I did not know that. I haven't read it.
I haven't read Dracula either.
So
interesting.
Yeah, that's an...
Also,
that's,
very famously, the New Testament has a lot of letters in it.
So true.
Yeah, and interestingly, I was thinking about how in, you know, Paul is the most famous letter writer in the Bible, and he just writes kind of like open letters to the people, his Christian communities, like in Ephesus, or, you know, whatever city he's writing to, Corinth. So he just writes to everyone.
So that's kind of cool. I mean, it's almost like, as an open letter, is that a little bit like somebody who's writing a letter to the editor?
I was thinking letter to the editor, a blog post is kind of like that, I guess. You're just putting it out there for everyone to read. Yeah.
And actually, speaking of that, I have a series of, well, there are a series of emails, and they're comical in nature, and they're written by an author named Libba Bray. And she has written several novels. She's very funny, but also very huge social conscience. It's about a woman who is publishing a novel, and she's getting the word out to her friends.
Okay.
So it's a little bit like a Facebook post.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it. There's a little bit of profanity, so we're going to be getting our little explicit content.
No bleeping.
Tag.
No bleeping here.
Anyway, this is called Dear Friends. Dear friends, I'm thrilled to announce that today is the pub day for my 6th novel, We Are All Strangers Here, a story about a dysfunctional Southern family, addiction, pedophilia, cannibalism, and the last days of New Wave, interwoven with the lucid dreaming of Manuel, a Sandinista rebel facing execution in 1986. It's difficult for me to be salesy, but I'm immensely proud of the work, which took me 5 years to write, and I hope you'll consider ordering a copy. Thanks so much, Emily. Obviously, this is definitely a satire. All right. Dear friends, my publicist, Shanna, tells me I should take a more proactive role in promoting the book. So you can now follow me on Twitter at The Novel Novelist. On Facebook, We Are All Strange. Tumblr, Write to Live. Instagram, Stranger Book. Warning, lots of pictures of our cat dressed as Ian McKellen. Working on getting a YouTube channel. Anyone know anything about how to shoot, edit, and score videos? Call me. Also blogging for HuffPo, making lists for BuzzFeed, moderating at Reddit, gifting at Giphy, and helming a new podcast, The Novel Life. Phew, not sure when I'll write the next book, but every little bit helps, they say. Fingers crossed, Emily. Dear friends, for those who are confused, yes, We Are All Strangers Here is under my pseudonym, TJ Barrow. My publisher thought a fresh start with a gender-neutral name was the way to get my underwhelming sales record back on track. Don't want to have to resort to self-publishing, LOL. Cheers, Emily. Dear friends, I'm sorry for any offense my last email may have caused. I know many of you have self-published, which is totally a viable option. Mary, what you did to promote your adoption memoir, rolling naked in paint at Burning Man, selling it out of the trunk at Ren Fair while singing medieval doggerel, well, that's just heroic. I've downloaded your book, as well as Dan's poetry collection, Songs of My Penis and Other Celebrations, TB's children's book, Why Do I Have a Navel?, and Chris and Juniper's spoken word collaboration, Awake, Awake. You are riding the wave of the future, my friends, and I salute you. Mary, if you could see your way clear to taking down that flame war you started on my Facebook timeline, I'd really appreciate it. My kids read that page, and I've had to explain a lot. Apologies, Emily. Dear friends, thanks to my new publicist, Tara, Shanna left for a, quote, quieter life, close quote, as a Navy SEAL, I've got my first bookstore reading. This Saturday, 2 p.m., I'll be on a panel with local horticulturalist Sven Svensson, What Do the Flowers Feel?, and former porn set fluffier Jeremy Feathertouch Dorado, Staying Up. We'll be reading and signing in the back of the store behind the Storytime Circle. Just follow the sound of the folk guitar and recorder. Trigger warning, clowns. I know, isn't that great? It's go time, Emily. Dear friends, thanks to both Charles and Lexi for coming to my reading. Lexi, again, I don't set the retail price for the book. I know things are free on the internet. Free doesn't pay for a new transmission in the Toyota. Charles, I'm so glad you were able to find a copy of my third novel, Fingers of Rain, at your church tag sale for only a quarter. Ha ha. Hard to believe I spent 3 goddamn years researching that thing on the Oregon Trail, pissing into a Coke bottle and eating worms I dug out of the frozen earth. But really, just knowing the books find their way into that special reader's hands and heart is what matters most. P.S. Anybody know anything about the side effects of OxyContin? Asking for a friend. We'll also take Vicodin. Emily. Dear friends, I'll be doing a live stream Q&A this Monday morning at 10 a.m. I know, it's right smack in the middle of the workday, but it's still great exposure, according to my new publicist, Lana. Tara had a breakdown. Something about lying in the fetal position under her desk, surrounded by a stash of office Keurig cups. Anyway, if you want to watch my Q&A later, just look under Barrow TJ and scroll through the first 240 videos till you get to mine. Hint, I am not the program about TJ Barrow, the serial killer. Coming at you live, Emily. Dear friends, I'm glad to hear you all enjoyed the serial killer video. I hear it's been optioned for a movie. From a godless universe, Emily. Dear friends, good news! I'm going to be on Maximum Novel with BookTube sensation Micah XL. Don't know if you've ever watched Maximum Novel, but it's sort of a quasi-interview slash Japanese game show format. I'll be answering questions about my book's themes of patriarchal corrosion, rampant consumerism, and the fraying of the American family, while simultaneously being rotated on a wall-mounted wheel as guests pummel my body with a variety of mostly soft objects. Filling out the medical release form now. Emily. Dear friends, thanks so much for your concern. The doctors think I'll be back to normal in 6 weeks, and Micah XL's lawyer sent the loveliest flowers. This too shall pass. Emily. Dear friends, Newsflash. I just found out I've got a corporate sponsorship opportunity. Colon Cleanse Incorporated is going to feature my book and their fall newsletter, which has a circulation of more than 10,000 dedicated readers. In exchange, I've agreed to let Colon Cleanse Incorporated simulcast my first colonoscopy in order to increase colon health awareness. Like my newest publicist, Mara, says, this is such a tremendous opportunity to remove a stigma and do some good for the world. It's humbling to think that my little book could possibly save lives. Hashtag grateful. Bottoms up. Emily. Dear friends, apparently the colonoscopy found polyps. Anyone had these? Anyway, I'm supposed to follow a high-fiber diet and give up booze. Ha, Emily. Dear friends, don't know if you saw the announcement in Variety, but serial killer TJ Barrow just got a 7-figure 3-book deal. So I'm going to have to retire my nom de plume, which is fine. As the TV deal is off, my publisher dropped the option for my next novel, and my agent ran off with my last publicist. Currently number 8 on the wait list for a barista position at my local Starbucks. Questioning all my life choices, Emily. Last one. Dear friends, great news. My publisher called back. Apparently, I am an internet sensation. The video of me falling off the wheel on Micah XL's show went viral. Over 2 million views and climbing. They've asked me to write a book about it. She's very cute. I really like her style. It's a little bit snarky.
Yeah.
A lot snarky.
That piece is really funny. It just kind of encapsulates the all of the struggles of a writer into a series of quick succession ups and downs. Really funny.
That's it. And it's also sort of what is happening with writers nowadays. I mean, it's like the modern writer.
And in the end, it's just like chance that you have to go viral and, it's just, there's nothing you can do. It's totally beyond your control.
Yeah.
It'll be some crazy thing that happens that makes or breaks someone. So,
and all those people who really studied writing, got their MFAs, really work at things, really work at their craft. Yep. It's hard to find anyone who will even read a synopsis of what you've written. And I'm sure any one of the Kardashians could or even just say, I have an idea for a book. Yeah. A ghostwriter would be flung
somebody
in
else has to write it, and then you still get to flaunt it around.
It's just the way it is. But it's nice to handle it with a little bit of humor. Mm-hmm. And also, I like the way she talks about what can happen to you on social media.
Yeah, it kind of wraps all that together. And this is kind of it's letters, but posted as a blog or maybe mass emails that some people send.
Right.
Which is another modern phenomenon because you can make a lot of social missteps in those situations and start these fire wars and,
That's right. Something that you say quite innocently right. It can just start this chain.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, pull yourself out of it too. Mm-hmm. I got a kick out of the reading where two people went.
Right, yeah.
Because that is kind of, I have given a reading and no one showed up. But the bookstore owner was very nice and he sat with me for a while.
Oh, that's nice.
We chatted. But yeah, letters, I think letters are a really cool way to write because you can keep them brief.
Mm-hmm.
I think it almost makes the task of writing more manageable just because it compartmentalizes things into these tidy packages.
Yeah, I was thinking the sense in that piece is that here's this person sort of dragging herself to the keyboard writing. There's a sense in that piece of I'm forcing myself to do this. I'm forcing myself to communicate here. So it creates a sort of discipline.
It does. And I just got a really big kick out of it because to me it does sort of encapsulate what it means to be a writer in 2017. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a blockbuster writer, a writer who's trying to make a living as a writer. Yeah.
The other thing with letters is it's easy to imagine the audience. So, when you're just writing a novel, you have to really get structured and really think about who is this aimed at? Who is the reader going to be? How are they going to receive it? But if you are structuring it as a letter, that helps you understand who the audience is better.
Right, although there are definitely miscalculations.
Yes, very true. Very true.
But you're right, it narrows it down. So anyway, do you have any favorite authors who are letter writers?
Well, my experience with letter writers is more from the ancient world. So there are a lot of famous Roman letter writers for whom we actually have their works extant. So like Cicero, very famous politician and lawyer, he wrote a lot of letters. They give you a really kind of good idea of like behind the scenes, like some of the most like illuminating, like real life kind of stuff. And he was really involved in politics. So you got to sort of see how he personally reacted to the Roman Republic falling apart.
So who did he write his letters for?
He wrote his letters to other politicians, to his friend who was his former slave. So we have letters from him to a lot of different people. And there's actually a good English translation. It's like a huge thick book, almost 3.5 inches thick. We have that much volume.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, and then I was telling you in class, in one of my Latin classes, we're reading letters from Pliny the Younger and the Emperor Trajan. And they're just about, like, they're about politics. And they're about, but they're also friends.
Does their personal life ever get in there? I mean, do they talk about kind of mundane things?
It does. Yeah. And there's some cool stuff. Like, at one point, Pliny, he took a risk. His wife's relative passed away back in Rome. And to get her home really fast, he issued a government travel pass called a diplomata to her. So she got to basically travel with the military. And so this is technically like misuse of governmental resources. So it's not allowed to do that. Sounds familiar,
right?
This sounds
very familiar and oddly relevant.
Yes, so Pliny writes back to Rome and to Trajan and say, listen, I did this. I hope it's okay. I'm asking you for retroactive permission to do this, to let my wife travel in the military. And Trajan writes back and says, oh, absolutely. You know, this is an issue of pietas, of her showing up to, you know, comfort her relatives. So absolutely, you did the right thing. You did what I would have done. So he sanctions it. Yeah.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, I just saw an article in the Washington Post, a commentary in the Washington Post that is about misuse of governmental funds for travel and the long history of that. And that letter from Pliny was actually cited in it. So it was a little victory for me and my Latin students.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, like, okay, I don't know if this qualifies as letters, but I believe it does. Did you ever read Robinson Crusoe?
I actually haven't.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I really like it. Daniel Defoe wrote it, and it was back in the 17th century, so it's very, very old. And it's about a guy who's shipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he's writing,
he's writing, but he doesn't know if the letters will ever be received.
That's it. Okay. So he's sort of, in some ways, writing for himself, but he's also writing for whoever might discover his body, or he's writing for some kind of future he can't really put his finger on. Mm-hmm. And it's a really kind of compelling journal. Mm-hmm. And that's how Defoe wrote. He wrote another book called Journal of the Plague Year, and it was the year of the bubonic plague.
I always like it when you're reading a book that's and just a regular narrative book, but then there's like a letter in it.
I love that.
It's like exciting because you flip ahead and you see, oh, there's a letter up there. Because when you flip through, they stand out in the formatting. It's like, oh, there's a letter.
That's how I feel
kind of
about
exciting.
Letters. Do you know those? Some people skip those.
Really?
I find that shocking.
That'd be like, that's the exciting thing. That's the evidence, the real evidence.
That's the way I feel. Like if you see a photograph in a book, I feel the same
way. I'm always looking ahead to like the pictures and reading ahead,
Yep, that would be me. Because we want to know more. We're curious.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
Yep.
So with that in mind, we would love to hear from our readers anything related
you
to
writing.
You can
write us a letter that we'll respond to. So
yeah, I was going to say I'd give you my street address, but that's probably
silly. I don't think I would do that necessarily.
But I would definitely give our email address.
Right.
Yeah. So easychairpodcast@gmail.com. Write to us if you have questions, suggestions, anything you want to say. We want to hear it.
That's right. We're here for you.
We are. And we like letters. I think we've made that pretty clear.
We'll listen.
Yeah. Yeah. We will. So until next time. This is Laura Hurwitz.
And Stephanie Spaulding.
And it's been Mightier Than the Sword. And we'll be back again soon.
See ya. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.